بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. We're carrying on in reading this blessed treatise called Rifqan Ahlus Sunnati bi Ahli Sunnah, Gentleness, O People of the Sunnah, with the People of the Sunnah. And in this treatise, authored by Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Hafidhullah, he encourages Muslims in general and Ahlul Sunnah specifically to have gentleness and kindness with each other, especially when it comes to rectifying mistakes and correcting their errors. And in the last two lessons, we have been reading from the chapter Hifdhul Lisani Min Al-Kalami Illa Fi Khair, preserving or guarding the tongue from speech, except in that in which there is some goodness. Guarding the tongue from speaking, except in that in which there is goodness. And the author, Hafidhullah, he began this chapter by mentioning a number of ayat regarding the importance of guarding the tongue and only speaking the truth. And then he mentioned, and we covered this last week, a number of hadith also regarding this meaning. And we finished last week with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which has been narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah and the final day, then let him speak with goodness or remain silent. And we mentioned how some of the ulama call this hadith a half of Islam, and other ulama call this hadith a third of al-Islam. Whoever believes in Allah and the final day, then let him speak with goodness or remain silent. And this hadith, it contains two commands. The first command is that if there is goodness, then speak with it. That if there is goodness to be said, then it isn't allowed for a person to be shy, rather the person has to speak with the goodness. And then the second part of the hadith is that if there isn't goodness, then you should remain silent. And in your books, for those who have the English, it is page 29 and page 30. After this, the author mentioned the statement of Al-Imam Abu Hatim Ibn Hibban in his book Rawdatul Uqala wa Nuzhatul Fudala, page 45. He said, "Al-wajibu ala al-aqil," the obligation upon the intelligent person is, "an yalzim as-samt," then he should remain quiet, he should remain silent, "ila an yalzimuhu at-takallum," until a time comes where he needs to speak. So the intelligent person, he doesn't speak too much. He maintains silence until a time comes when there is a need for a person to speak, and therefore a person speaks. And this issue of as-samt, remaining silent, it's from the praiseworthy characteristics. Remaining silent when there's nothing good to be said, and also remaining silent when somebody more virtuous or somebody more senior, more knowledgeable is speaking. For this reason, even the great Sahaba like Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and they were from the greatest of the scholars, but because they were younger in age, when they were in front of Abu Bakr or in front of Umar radiallahu anhuma, they would not speak. Even if a question was asked, and they knew the answer, but because of the other senior companions who would be sitting there, out of recognition for the virtue of the Sahaba, they would remain silent. And up until now, if you look in the books of At-Tarajim, the books of the biographies of the Salaf. And they will say regarding a particular Imam, كَانَ مَعْرُوفًا لِلصَّمْتِ. The Imam, he was known for his silence. وَمَعْرُوفٌ لِلْوَرَعِ. And he was known for his simplicity and asceticism. وَكَانَ مَعْرُوفٌ لِلْعِلْمِ وَمَعْرُوفًا لِلْحِفْظِ. And he was known for his knowledge and he was known for his memorization. And you will find this type of biography or these statements mentioned regarding many Imams. That Fulan, from the Imams of the Salaf, he was known for his samt, his silence and his etiquette, and he was known for his knowledge and memorization and so on and so forth. And often it is mentioned before knowledge is mentioned and before memorization is mentioned and how many hadith he narrated, before all of that they mention كَانَ مَعْرُوفًا لِلصَّمْتِ. He was known for his silence, even before his knowledge. And this is because the Salaf, rahimahumullah, they used to attach importance to learning good manners and learning etiquettes before they learned knowledge. And it said regarding the sittings of Al-Imamu Malik and other than him, that these sittings would have, for example, 500 students, and 30 of them would be learning the hadith and the knowledge, and the rest of them would be learning the adab, the correct etiquettes. And from the etiquettes which the Salaf were known by is remaining silent, especially when there is a person of virtue sitting there. He said, Al-Imamu Abu Hatim ibn Hibban, he said, فَمَا أَكْثَرَ مَنْ نَدِمَ إِذَا نَطَقْ وَأَقَلَّ مَنْ يَنْدُمْ إِذَا سَكَتْ. That when a person speaks, how often will that person then feel sorrow for that which he said? And when a person remains silent, then very little or in very few instances will he feel sorry or apologetic about something. وَأَطْوَلَ النَّاسِ شِقَاءً وَأَعْظَمُهُمْ بِلَاءً مَنْ ابْتُلِيَ بِلِسَانٍ مُطْلِقٍ وَفُؤَادٍ مُطَبَّقٍ. He said, the worst people who are always being afflicted by problems are those people who have a tongue which freely speaks and at the same time a heart which is closed, meaning he doesn't think regarding that which he is speaking about. He also said, Al-Imam Abu Hatim, Al-Wajibu ala al-Aqili an yunsifa udhunayhi min fihi. That the obligation upon the intelligent person is he listens more than he speaks, i.e. he listens twice as much as he speaks. وَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّهَا أَنَّهُ إِنَّمَا جُعِلَتْ لَهُ أُذُنَانِ وَفَمٌ وَاحِدٌ. That an intelligent person should know, Allah created for you two ears, but He only created for you one tongue. Why? لِيَسْمَعَ أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا يَقُولُ. So you can hear more than you say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created for us two ears, yet He only created for us a single tongue. And this therefore means that that which we should listen to should be twice as much than that which we speak. We should speak less and listen more and learn more. He also mentioned, Al-Imamu Abu Hatim, لِسَانُ الْعَاقِلْ يَكُونُ وَرَاءَ قَلْبِهِ. That the tongue of an intelligent person should be behind his heart. And the meaning of behind his heart, i.e. behind his intelligence. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ الْقَوْلِ رَجَعَ إِلَى الْقَلْبِ. Whenever the intelligent person wants to speak, he first thinks and he first goes back to his heart. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَالْ. So if his intelligence then tells him that you need to say this statement, then he speaks. وَإِلَّا فَلَا. Otherwise, he does not speak. وَأَمَّا الْجَاهِلِ. As for the ignorant person, قَلْبُهُ فِي طَرَفِ لِسَانِهِ. Then his heart is on the tip of his tongue. Meaning he speaks and speaks without thinking and considering and contemplating whether he should speak or he should not speak. And the author, he mentions the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that he said, the Prophet said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ مَا فِيهَا. That sometimes a person, he will say a statement and he doesn't realize the weight of his statement. يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي النَّارِ أَبْعَدَ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. And yet, this statement that a person made without considering the weight of this statement, it will throw him into Jahannam, which is farther away from the east and the west. And in another riwayah of this hadith, the Prophet said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةٍ مَا يَظُنُّ أَن تَبْلَغَ مَا بَلَغَتْ. That sometimes a person will say something, he will say a statement, and he doesn't realize how far this statement is going to go. And then the Prophet said, and this statement takes him to Jahannam. And in another narration of the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. That a person, he makes a statement from the pleasure of Allah, meaning he says something which is good, which Allah is pleased with, la yulqi laha balan, and he doesn't pay any consideration to this statement which he has made. He just said something, but this thing which he said, it was within the limits of Islam. He didn't give it any consideration, and yet yarfa'ahu Allahu biha darajat, and yet Allah will raise his ranks because of this statement which he made. And he said, وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. And on the other hand, a person will say a statement, مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ, which angers Allah, لَا يُلْقِ لَهَا بَالًا, and he doesn't pay any consideration to this statement, يَهْوِ بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمِ, and Allah will throw this person in Jahannam. So every time a person makes a statement, you have to consider that which you are saying. Because sometimes you might say something and you don't realize how weighty it is what you are saying. You don't realize the effect of this statement upon the other people. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either reward you for this statement or punish you for this statement. And this especially applies when it comes to, for example, speaking to children. That you might say something to a child, you might rebuke a child. If a child, for example, in the masjid, maybe they were messing around in the corner, they were making a little bit of noise, and you said something to the child in anger. An hour after you said that thing to the child, you've forgotten about it. But the effect of that statement will remain with the child for the rest of his life. And it might lead the child not coming back to the masjid again, or hating Islam, or hating the Muslims. And therefore, this is something that we have to pay consideration to. And last Friday before this one, I had my usual khutbah in the masjid in Preston, and there's an uncle there, an old uncle, and he was telling me how him and his wife, they went somewhere to the countryside and they saw a non-Muslim, and he was taking photos of the countryside. So this uncle, he said to me that I went to the shop, I bought a drink and I gave it to him just to drink. And then that person said to him, you know, what is this? Why have you given me this drink? And this uncle, he said to him that I like doing acts of goodness and charity. And the non-Muslim, he said, I also like doing acts of goodness and charity. The uncle said to him, what do you get out of doing acts of goodness? He said, self-fulfillment. I feel happy when I do something which is good. And when he then asked the uncle said, I also get self-fulfillment. But also my Lord has promised me with Jannah. And this statement, it was enough for that person to enter into Al-Islam. And he told me of a number of statements like this, when he would go up to a non-Muslim and mention one or two things, and then that person would accept Islam. And there was an elder who used to live in Nelson, he passed away, rahimullah, and he was a revert to Islam. And he told me that he entered Islam because he saw a person making wudu in a particular Muslim country that he had gone to do tourism and visit that country. He just saw somebody making wudu and he accepted Al-Islam. So a person shouldn't belittle his statement or belittle the sin, but magnify the one that you are sinning against. Don't belittle your statement, which is a sin, but magnify the one who you are sinning against. And at the same, on the same side, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Don't belittle any act of goodness, any act of charity. ولو بشق تمرة, even if it is half of a date. Just giving half of a date in charity maybe to a non-Muslim, and perhaps he accepts Al-Islam. And this is the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Sahih Bukhari, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. A person will make a statement, he will say something, مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ, from the pleasure of Allah, لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا. And then he pays it no consideration, he forgets about it. But يَرْفَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً. But Allah will keep raising his rank because of this statement he made. And also, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. A person makes a statement, مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ, which has within it the anger of Allah, لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا. He doesn't pay any consideration to it. يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمِ. And yet, this minor thing, which was minor to this person, it enters a person into Jahannam. Also, the author mentioned the hadith, the wasiyah, the advice and the admonishment that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he gave to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. One day Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he was in a journey with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, dullani ala amalin, show me an action, إِذَا عَمِلْتُهُ أَدْخَلَنِيَ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ. And if I do this action, Allah will enter me into Jannah. وَأَبْعَدَنِيَ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. And Allah will cause me to be far away from the fire. O Messenger of Allah, tell me of an action. If I do it, Allah will enter me into Jannah. And at the same time, He will remove me and keep me far away from Jahannam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. You have asked about something which is very great. وَلَكِنَّهُ يَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ لَهُ. However, it is easy for the one that Allah makes easy for him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned a number of advice or admonishments. And towards the end, the last thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said and did is, he said to him, يَا مُعَاذ, O مُعَاذ, كُفَّ عَنْكَ هَذَا. ثُمَّ أَخَذَ بِلِسَانِهِ. And then he held his tongue. He said, O Mu'adh, control this. And then he held his tongue. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabiullah, O Prophet of Allah, أَإِنَّا لَمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ. O Prophet of Allah, will we be held accountable for those things which we say? Meaning we know that actions, stealing, theft, oppression, violence, we know that in all of this there is punishment. But just statements, just the moving of this tongue a few millimeters, will we be held accountable for this? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he rebuked him. He said, ثَقَلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ. And then he said, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ. That will the people be dragged to the fire on their faces? إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Except due to the seeds which the tongue has sowed upon this earth. Meaning, as I mentioned previously in the khutbah, that this life, it is like a farm. A believer lives in this dunya like the farm. And he sows the seeds now in order to take the reward in the akhirah. And therefore, if there are good seeds, i.e. good actions and good statements, then it is the rewards, the fruit and the vegetation of the akhirah. However, if it is evil that you are sowing here and evil statements, then like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, will the people be dragged to the fire on their faces except for the seeds of the tongue which people have sowed in this life. And Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, he said in his explanation of this hadith, وَالْمُرَادُ بِحَصَائِدِ الْأَلْسِنَةِ, that the meaning of the harvest of the tongue is جَزَاءُ الْكَلَامُ الْمُحَرَّمُ وَعُقُوبَاتُهُ, is this will be the recompense, the punishment of speech which was not allowed. فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ يَزْرَعُ بِقَوْلِهِ. Because a person, he sows the seeds with his statement and his actions, al-hasanat wa sayyi'at, and he sows the seeds of goodness and he sows the seeds of evil. Thumma yahsudu yawm al-qiyama ma zara. And then on the day of judgment, he will harvest the crops of that which he sowed in this life. فَمَنْ زَرَعَ خَيْرًا مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ حَسَدَ الْكِرَامَةِ So whoever sows in this life, on this farm, goodness, good statements, good actions, then on يوم القيامة his crops will be honorable. وَمَنْ زَرَعَ شَرًّا مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ And whoever in this life, he sows the seeds of evil, whether it is statements or actions, حَصَدَ غَدًا النِّدَامَةِ Then tomorrow, يوم القيامة, he will only sow, or he will only harvest a sorrow and regret. And Al-Hafidh ibn Rajb, he said, the author mentions, وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ كَفَّ اللِّسَانِ وَضَبْطَهُ وَحَبْسَهُ هُوَ أَصْلُ الْخَيْرِ كُلِّهِ The author said that this shows a person controlling his tongue, a person looking after his tongue, a person withholding his tongue, this is أَصْلُ الْخَيْرِ كُلِّهِ This is the core of every type of goodness. وَأَنَّ مَنْ مَلَكَ لِسَانَهُ فَقَدْ مَلَكَ أَمْرَهُ وَأَحْكَمَهُ وَضَبَطَهُ And whoever can control his tongue, he will control all of his affairs. Whoever can control his tongue, he will control all of his actions. And for this reason, the tongue is the most dangerous limb in the body. More dangerous than the hands, more dangerous than the private parts, it is the tongue. Every goodness, it begins with the tongue. And every evil, it begins with the tongue. Before a person does an evil with his hand, his tongue has already preceded him to that action. Before a person commits fahisha with his private parts, his tongue has already preceded him to it. How many people, na'udhu billah, have fallen into adultery just by talking to a woman who was an ajnabiyya? It wasn't permitted for him to talk with her, and slowly talking, and then it leads to adultery, na'udhu billah. And therefore the tongue, it is the most dangerous of the limbs. Then the author, he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Sahih Muslim, that one day he said to his companions, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ الْمُفْلِسِ He said, do you know who the bankrupt person is? And the companions, they said, الْمُفْلِسُ فِينَا مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمَ لَهُ وَلَا مَتَعَ The companion said that according to our understanding, the bankrupt person is a person who doesn't have any wealth and he doesn't have any property. Like we understand. Bankruptcy is when a person loses his wealth. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِنَّ مُفْلِسَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي The bankrupt person in my ummah Yati Yawm al-Qiyamah is a person who will come on the day of resurrection bi salatin wa siyamin wa zakatin and he will have prayers with him and he will have fasting with him and he will have charity with him but then qad shatama hadha he has insulted this person wa qadhafa hadha and he has accused another person wa akala mala hadha and he has taken the blood of a particular person فَيُعْتِي هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ And therefore his good deeds, his prayers, his zakat, his charity, his fasting will be given to that person who he insulted and he abused and he swore against and he falsely accused. وَإِنْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ And if his good deeds then finish, the good deeds have been given to the other people, أُخِذَ مِنْ خَطَايَاهُمْ Then their bad deeds are taken and their bad deeds are placed upon this person. So this person, he thinks that he is one who is righteous. Why? Because of his salawat and his fasting and his zakat and his sadaqah and his hajj and his umrah. But he doesn't know that because of the actions of his tongue, of just words, just insulting and just swearing and backbiting, then his good deeds are being removed and given to them and their bad deeds are being placed upon him. And consider how difficult is it for a person to perform Hajj. It takes a lot of money, a lot of effort being away from family. How difficult is it to fast in the summer, for example? Hours and hours of fast, sometimes 18 hours of not eating or drinking in the summer heat. And yet all of that is lost because of a single statement against another person. And the Prophet ﷺ also the author he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he one day he wanted to give an example of how sacred the honor is between Muslims, how sacred the honor of the Muslims between each other, how sacred it is. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was standing in Arafah, or he was standing in Mecca, and it was Yawm al-Nahr, the days of Hajj, in the days of Dhul-Hijjah, meaning it is a sacred month and sacred days within the sacred month, and then a sacred place in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is standing. And the state he is in, the state of Ihram, is also a sacred state. He said to the companions, Ibn Abbas narrates, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطب الناس يوم النحر. That one day, on the day of النحر, i.e. in Dhul Hijjah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he gave a sermon to the rest of the companions. He said, أيها الناس, O people, أي يوم هذا, which day is this? The Prophet knew which day it was, but he wanted to emphasize the sanctity and the sacredness of that day, يوم النحر in Dhul Hijjah. He said, يا ناس, أيها الناس, أي يوم هذا. He said, O people, what is today? قالوا يوم حرام. They said, it is a day which is haram. The meaning of haram here is a day which is sacred, and it has a sanctity and an honor which should not be violated. And then he said, أيها الناس, O people, أي بلد هذا. Which land, which town, which city am I standing in? And they said, بلد حرام. They said, it is a sacred place, i.e. Mecca. Then the Prophet said, وَأَيُّ شَهْرٍ هَذَا, and which month is this? I, the month of Dhul Hijjah. قَالُوا شَهْرٌ حَرَامٌ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, it is a sacred month. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ, your lives and your blood, وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ, and your property, وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ, and your honor, عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ, is also sacred and it has to be sanctified. كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا, just like the sacredness of this day, فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا, and the sacredness of this land, وَفِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا, and the sacredness of this month. فَأَعَادَهَا مِرَارًا. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he repeated this over and over again. He kept repeating and saying to them, إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ حَرَامٌ, that your wealth and your lives and your blood and your honor is sacred between you, just as the sacredness of this day, Yawm al-Nahr, of this month, Dhul Hijjah, of this place, Mecca, in front of the Kaaba. ثُمَّ رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he raised his head towards the sky. And he said, اللهم هل بلغت, O Allah, have I conveyed? Meaning, O Allah, bear witness that I have conveyed. And this is also an evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heavens and above the throne, and He's not in every place. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he raised his head and he raised his sight and he looked upwards. And then he called to Allah, he said, Allahumma hal ballagd, O Allah, have I conveyed? Meaning, O Allah, bear witness that I have conveyed the message. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. He said, I take an oath by the one in whose hand my soul is, إِنَّهَا لَوَصِيَّتُهُ إِلَىٰ أُمَّتِهِ, that this advice and this admonishment which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave was his advice to the whole of the ummah. Meaning, when the Prophet said, إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ أَعْرَاضَكُمْ حَرَامٌ, that your blood and your property and your honor is haram, he wasn't only talking about the companions. It isn't specific to the companions only, the Sahaba, that only they honor and they wealth and their blood is sacred. Rather, the blood and the honor and the wealth of every single Muslim is sacred between each other. And therefore, it isn't permitted for a person to talk about unjustly the honor of another Muslim. And these three things, protecting the blood of the Muslims and protecting the property of the Muslims and protecting the honor of the Muslims, this is from the maqasid of the Sharia. It is from the objectives of the Sharia. The laws of the Sharia have come in order to protect these things, amongst other things. the religion of a person, and then the life and blood and the property and the honor of a person. And how is the honor of a Muslim violated? Just by the tongue. Just by the statement of a tongue, a person will violate the honor of another Muslim, which is more sacred than Yawm al-Nahr fi shahri dhil-hijjah in Mecca. And then the author, he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man da'a ila huda, whoever calls another person to guidance, lahu min al-ajri mithla ujuri man tabi'ahu, for him is the reward just like the person who fulfilled that guidance, who he acted upon that guidance. Meaning, when we show another person an act of goodness, when we teach another person an act of goodness, then that person gets the reward and you also get the reward. Every time that person, he acts upon your advice, he also gets the reward. And similarly, whoever opens a door of misguidance for another person, then you will also get the sin, just like that person gets the sin for doing that act of misguidance or doing that act of sin. And then, and we'll finish with this, he mentioned the statement or the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the end, inna allaha qaal, that Allah, he has said, man aada li waliyan faqad aadhantuhu bil harb, that whoever shows animosity to a wali of mine, then I have given permission for war against this person. Meaning Allah says, whoever insults one of my awliya, whoever oppresses one of my awliya, whoever violates the honor of one of my awliya by a statement, then I, Allah, am at war with this person. And the meaning of wali is al-mu'min at-taqi. Every mu'min, every believer who has a level of taqwa, he is a wali. Like Allah said, ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Allah says in the Quran, verily the awliya of Allah, there is no fear upon them and they will not be anxious or worry. And then he explained who the awliya of Allah are. He said, alladhina amanu, those who have iman, wa kanu yattaqun, and they have taqwa. Taqwa, i.e. piety. And for this reason, every single Muslim who has iman and who has taqwa, he has a level of wilaya. He is the awliya of Allah. And the more the iman and taqwa of a person is, the higher he is as a wali of Allah. And the people are two types, either awliya al-Rahman or awliya al-Shaytan. They are either the awliya of the Most Merciful or they are the awliya of al-Shaytan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that Allah says, Hadithun Qudsi, whoever shows animosity to a wali of mine, i.e. a person of iman and a person of taqwa, then I've prepared a war against him. And no doubt, the greatest of the awliya are the ulama. And for this reason, speaking against or violating the honor of a scholar is more severe in punishment than even the rest of the Muslims or the rest of the people, and all of it is very severe. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Luhum al-ulama masmuma," that the meat, the flesh of the scholars, it is poisonous, and backbiting a person is like eating his flesh whilst he is alive. So the sin of speaking against a scholar and violating his honor is more severe than speaking against the rest of the Muslims. And for this reason, when a scholar, i.e. a scholar from Ahlul Sunnah, when he makes a mistake, it isn't permitted for every person to start speaking. Rather, it is left to the ulama that they are the ones who speak against this error. And not every Bakr, Amr and Zayd speaks against the ulama. And it is mentioned that Ibn al-Mubarak, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, as al-Dhahabi mentions, he says, "Man istakhaffa bil ulama dhahabat akhiratuhu," that whoever belittles a scholar, whoever belittles a person of knowledge, then his akhirah will leave him, meaning he has destroyed his akhirah. "Waman istakhaffa bil umara dhahabat dunya," and whoever belittles the rulers, then his dunya will leave him. وَمَنِ اسْتَخَفَّ بِإِخْوَانِهِ, and whoever belittles and speaks against his own brothers, ذَهَبَتْ مُرُوءَتُهُ, then his integrity, his self-respect, it will depart a person. And so, brothers and also sisters, when it comes to the rights of the ulama and the conflicts or the disputes which are occurring between the ulama, then that which is upon us is that we don't speak about it and that we don't enter into it. And the worst type of insult that is given to the ulama is using nicknames against them. And now we hear it a lot. They will say, Fulan, he is Madkhali. Or Fulan, he is Jami. Or before this, Fulan, he is Wahhabi. And all of this is in mocking and violating the honor and the sacredness of the scholars. So this is something that every single person should be aware of. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'an وعملا صالحا ورزقا طيبا اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم